Hey, our church is part of a North American fellowship called the Charis Fellowship. Charis means grace. It's the international word for grace. Our North American fellowship is partnering with fellowships all over the world to call the Charis Alliance. And within our fellowship, the Charis Fellowship, there's a wonderful organization called the Eagle Commission. The Eagle Commission is our organization that helps endorse chaplains to the military. And we have a couple of dozen chaplains all over the world that are part of Charis Fellowship. Auburn Grace has two chaplains. Did you know that? We are what's called the endorsing church. And without an endorsing church, you cannot be a chaplain in the service. In fact, if you lose your endorsing church, if I get this right, within 24 hours...
I'm not sure about that.
Okay. But... No, I'm telling you right now, within 24 hours, you're out. Okay.
Gone.
Okay. How many of you remember Colonel George Ustra? He's one of our chaplains. He's going to be here in July, by the way. Well, this is Phil and Penny. Would you stand up and just say hello to Penny this morning, Phil's wife? We are privileged to have Phil and Penny in our church as their endorsing church, which means we ordained Phil to the ministry. We examined him as an elder board to make sure that he's qualified to go around the world and to teach God's word and to represent the Lord Jesus in the military. They do just an incredible work of not only going alongside into various places, but to also minister in some of the toughest situations around. It's tough to be a military chaplain today, not only because of what happens on the battlefield, but what happens on the base when they come back and those kinds of things. The Eagle Commission. Some of you are personally giving $20 a month to the Eagle Commission. That's how they sponsor it. But I wanted to show you, before Phil shares with us today, show you a little video about the Eagle Commission and what you as a church and our Charis National Fellowship is doing to help boots on the ground in various places of the world. So let's show the Eagle Commission video.
Memorial Day in our country is a time to remember those who were killed in action. And for every military member who was killed in action, there was a chaplain who provided grief counseling to those who were around them, but also performed a field service, a memorial ceremony, or a military burial for that person. The Eagle Commission exists to keep our chaplains and their families connected with our fellowship. Chaplains serve in often remote locations, nowhere near Grace Brethren or Charis churches. And so the Eagle Commission is a bridge to help our chaplains and our churches stay connected.
It's one of the greatest things about the American Army is how much we do to honor our own when they fall.
We live in a country that we, I think, all realize that freedom isn't free. That someone sacrificed, and in the case of Memorial Day, sacrificed their life so that we could enjoy our freedoms as Americans. And what I think is the most important, which we often forget, is freedom of religion. Emotionally and spiritually, as the chaplain, it's difficult to deal with the grief of someone and a collective grief of a group of people who just lost their closest friend, someone who was their battle buddy, who slept next to them in the bunk next to them, who was on the vehicle with them.
At this point, I'd been on active duty a total of 30 days. Start off my day like normal, visiting the soldiers where they work, just chatting them up, see what's going on in their world, kind of helping them just get through another deployment in Iraq where it's hot and it's miserable. Then one of our convoys came in, and I already heard over the radio that they had lost one of their own.
Truck 3 is down. Truck 3 is down. He's all in.
Go back to that fateful day, which would be 15 May, 2003. Sergeant Nutt's convoy was out on the road. They were transporting supplies up from Kuwait to bring them to our base in northern Iraq. It was very common on the roads in Iraq to have very small cars jam-packed full of big families. And just so happens there was one of those small cars jam-packed full of a family with lots of kids that cut into the convoy in front of Sergeant Nutt's truck. He was given a split-second decision. The big truck that he was driving would no doubt have completely destroyed that vehicle and very likely would have killed everyone in it. But in that split second, David Nutt chose to not do that. Instead, he veered his truck hard to the left and he hit the medium and flipped. When he did so, he came out of the vehicle and the vehicle crushed him. David was a follower of Christ. He had an incredible testimony in his unit. All the soldiers, after he was lost, everyone to a person, was talking about his faith, about how quiet he was. He was a very quiet man, but he was very strong in his faith. So without a doubt, Sergeant David Nutt, he lived it out that no greater love than this, that he gave up his life for the sake of someone he didn't know.
I can't see what's going on up there. Somebody get out there.
Sorry.
Help me. We gotta get to him. I'm going home,
Lisa. Not easy.
They just killed him.
And the chaplain is the one who comes alongside all of that, puts his arms around them, prays for them, walks them through. And as opportunities come open to talk about how there is life beyond, that's what we're called to do under some of the most difficult circumstances. So this Memorial Day, I'd ask you to remember to pray for your chaplains. Thank God for those who gave their lives for our country. But also pray for chaplains as they minister to families who've lost loved ones, spouses, children, military members, moms and dads. That's the world in which they ministered this Memorial Day.
Chaplain Phil and Penny have been with us for several events here, and we've asked him to come and to share in our church service this morning. Last year, he was deployed to Turkey and was able to serve over there, and he's currently stationed in the thriving tropics of where?
Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Cheyenne, Wyoming. Okay, Cheyenne, Wyoming, where it's snowing even today.
Possibly. We had 6 inches on Monday.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, wow. Woo-hoo. Well, let's welcome Chaplain Phil this morning.
Thank you so much. It truly does feel good to be home with my home church. We used to live in Grass Valley, and we had been coming to this church off and on for probably about 8 years ago. We had been attending services, and then Chaplain George Euster introduced us to Pastor Sparling and his wife Ruth. And steps just kind of happened, and here I am, a part of your community, a part of your church. And I just want to say thank you first off. As you saw with that video, the Eagle Commission does not, we have to have an endorsing church, and that's what you guys are. You would not send a missionary out into the field without support, without prayer. Well, that's what I'm a missionary. I'm a missionary to our military, and I cannot do what I do without your guys' support. So thank you so much. If you are interested in getting more information about the Eagle Commission, you can go online as it showed there, eaglecommission.org. We are always looking for people to pray for us. We have chaplains, I believe, in all five of the services. I'm not sure. But we have chaplains on active duty, in the guard, in the reserves. And so we need your support. So if you're looking for ways to support us, please go to that website and take a look at how you can help us. And we will be most appreciative for sure. This is a humbling Sunday to be able to speak to you as well. With it being Memorial Day, it's an opportunity for us to honor those who have sacrificed so much for our country. And part of the honor of serving our great country currently is knowing that we are carrying on the traditions of those who have sacrificed and served so bravely before us. It's because of this sacrifice that we today are honoring those who have answered our nation's call and given their all. Whether they voluntarily signed up to serve or were drafted, their sacrifice is not forgotten. Throughout our nation's history, it is because of this sacrifice that we are free today. And we do not take those freedoms lightly or without reserve. No generation has been spared that responsibility. And it's always interesting as time passes, what is current history becomes past history, and it becomes history that you can only read about in history books. And part of Memorial Day is to remember those who have sacrificed so much. And what I would like to do is we're going to ask those who have served at various points in time to stand up so that we can see and recognize those who have sacrificed and served so much. So I'm going to ask some questions, and if you have either served or have lost a loved one during that service time, we're going to ask you to stand, okay, so we can recognize that. So the first time, and I know I'm going pretty far back, but are there any World War II veterans here or those who have lost a loved one during World War II? Awesome. Thank you. You can be seated, but thank you to those who sacrificed so much. When the world called upon our democracy to stand up against nations bent on destruction, you answered the call. They answered the call. Thank you. Do we have anybody that served or lost a loved one in the Korean War? Please stand. Please stand. Thank you very much. Oftentimes, it's noted as the forgotten war. Your sacrifices, their sacrifices, with the memories of World War II not so in the far distant past, showed a continuation of honor and sacrifice. Their determination, your determination and fortitude in some of the most brutal conditions known are not forgotten. So thank you. The Vietnam War, are there any Vietnam vets or those who lost a loved one during Vietnam? Would you please stand? To a war and those that served, that affects me very personally as my dad served in Vietnam, I have but a very simple thank you for you. Thank you for showing what true courage is, not only in battle, but also when coming home. So I know the Cold War was a long period between the end of World War II and end of the 80s, but is there anybody here that served during the Cold War from the end of Vietnam till Gulf War I? Is there anybody that served during that time? If there is, please stand. Okay? That's all right. I would... Thank you. There may not have been a shot fired during the Cold War, but it was because of your determination and perseverance to stand guard that saw the evil of communism crumble and the freedom of millions won. So thank you for that determination. Do we have anybody here that is Gulf War I or Gulf War II? Anybody serve? Thank you back there. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. After the apprehension that our country had from Vietnam, we have answered the call to serve when our nation has asked us. We have been serving in a hostile location. I know the Air Force has been doing this. We have been serving in a hostile location since 1992. We have been flying missions daily since 1992, 27 years. We have done so to continue that tradition of sacrifice that has been so readily shown to us by our preceding generations of service members. So to all who have served, who have lost loved ones because of their service, thank you. Thank you. Now I have a very special question. Are you a spouse of anyone who has served in active duty or been deployed? If you are a spouse of a service member, please stand. Or have been a spouse of a service member, please stand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We all know that if something is going to go wrong, it's going to go wrong when the service member is gone. That's just the reality of it. Thank you for keeping the homes going while we've been away. Thank you for surviving and thriving in those difficult times. It is because of you, our spouses, that we have been able to deploy, been able to go and serve and done our job, knowing that our homes will be taken care of. It is your love and support that has kept us going. And when we returned, there have been some that have been broken beyond recognition. In those difficult times of wondering if you're strong enough to take care of your spouse, of your service member, it has been your strength and your love that has carried us through. And I cannot say this enough, but thank you. Thank you for your care and love. Thank you. To all who have served, who are serving, or who will serve, thank you. Thank you. And on a day like this, where we remember the sacrifices of so many, it brings up a question that I have in my own mind that I ask myself. And it's a question that will only be answered in the future, but what I do now determines how it will be answered. And the question is this: how will I be remembered? And actually, more specifically, how will I be remembered in light of being a Christian? What have I done that points to the glory of Jesus Christ so that on that day that I'm gone, will my life point others to Jesus Christ? What am I doing today that prepares me for that moment when I will either glorify Christ or make someone ask, "He's a Christian? Really?" It could happen later today, possibly tomorrow, possibly 2-3 weeks from now. It could happen the minute I step off the stage. If you would, please turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And as you're turning there, I want you to know that as I was studying and as I was preparing and as I was going through this message, these verses are not easy. I mean, if you were just to scan through the second chapter here, you know, starting in verse 3 where it says, "Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." Yay. Right? Verse 4, "No soldier in active service entangles themselves in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier." Let's see. Starting in verse 8, it says, "Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardships even to imprisonment as a criminal. But the word of God is not imprisoned." Verse 10, "For this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory." It's talking about struggling through, but always keeping in mind why he's going through it. And then you get to verses 14 and 15, and that's where I kind of like to sit for a little bit. Verse 14 says this, "Remind them of these things and solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." And what does that necessarily mean, accurately handling the word of truth? Well, how was Paul able to say, as he said, that he endures everything for the sake of the elect? Why would he do that? He knew that people were watching him. He knew that people would be taking a look at his life and going, yeah, he's a follower of Christ, or no, he's not. What was informing him of the way that he lived his life and the reason that he lived his life as he did? Or the better question for you is what is informing you of how you live your life for Christ? What is informing that? And I have one word that will answer it for you all. And it's theology. And that's the exact response that I had in college. Theology, the word in and of itself, is just kind of boring. I get it. Those were the worst classes that I had in school. I didn't get it. They made me want to fall asleep. So what is theology? Theology is the study of the nature of God, of who God is. So when I speak, I don't speak for my own glorification or to expound just some head knowledge. But when I speak to encourage people. I speak to challenge them. Hopefully and prayerfully, I'm bringing them some kind of spiritual benefit. But there's this struggle that is a part of it. And here's that struggle. It's when people have been Christians for a long time, and they reveal that they only have the smallest amount of theological knowledge. Maybe only going as far as John 3:16. Or even worse, reveal that their belief that theological knowledge is unnecessary. Or maybe even an evil thing. Maybe this is you. I know at one point in time that was me. Maybe you have no idea of what theology is. No matter where you are on that scale, I would like to encourage you and impress upon you as much as I can that theology is vitally important in the life of a Christian. I like to read articles. It's how I kind of keep up with the world. And there's an article that I read that challenged me tremendously. And specifically about theology. And it captivated me. And that's where I've been informed with where I'm speaking about today. It has challenged me that much. So So the joys of theology, right? Let's be honest. When you first come to Christ, ignorance is the expectation. You don't know what you don't know. We all begin with knowledge that is minuscule and faulty. But ignorance is a great concern when people who have professed faith for years and years yet have never advanced beyond that basics. In many cases, people have simply never been told that there is such a category as theology. Perhaps they've only been told that Christianity is not a religion, but a relationship. And while it's true and precious that we get to have a relationship with God, the Christian faith is also a substantial, orderly, cohesive body of truths. Perhaps they've only ever been told that theology is dangerous, that doctrine divides. Or maybe they've been told and taught that theology is boring. It's the purposeless or even prideful pursuit of knowledge that compels us to body slam others with facts. You ever talk with anybody like that? Admittedly, a lot of people abuse theology in that way. But theology is so much more and so much better than that. Understood properly and practiced biblically, theology is not the accumulation of cold facts, but of accurate and true knowledge that is meant to work its way out in our thoughts and our lives. I want to say that again. It is the accurate and true knowledge that it is meant to work its way out in our thoughts and lives. When we have great knowledge of God, we can think great thoughts of God. When we think great thoughts of God, we can live great lives for God. When we live great lives for God, we bring great glory to God. Is that not what we are supposed to do? Absolutely. In that way, theology is not only meant to serve self, but to serve others, and through them to glorify God. We can't truly know God or live for God until we know the facts God has given us about himself. Which is to say, we can't truly know God as he is or live for God as he desires as long as we reject or downplay theology. It's vitally important. I've known Pastor Sparling for about 8 years. I've been to this church numerous times. I've heard him speak. And as a matter of fact, the last time I heard him speak was last year at our annual convention. And the tagline that I remember from his message was, the whole Bible, only the Bible, right? I know that that is his theological background. When I take a look at the video that was shown, talking about your life groups, what is the point of those life groups? It is to help you and inform your life biblically so that you live a life that is representative of the cross. There was a young lady at the first service. Her name was Megan, correct? And she's going on a mission trip in 2 weeks. Well, what is informing her of going on that mission trip? Why is she doing that? Her theology is dictating that she is called to go and serve those who need it, those less blessed, to bring Christ to them. It is her theology that is dictating her actions. The question that I have for you is, are you taking advantage of those opportunities? Are you taking advantage of the life groups that are here? Are you taking advantage of VBS? Not only bringing your kids or grandkids, but also maybe helping. They need the help. I can tell you that. I haven't talked to anybody, but I can tell you they need the help. Why? Because we are called to spread the gospel. What are you doing on your own outside of this time to enrich and to deepen your understanding of who God is and how that affects your life? We are all responsible before God to know these truths, to know these things truly and rightly, to align our knowledge with the source of truth God has given us in His Word. We are all responsible to deepen and to sharpen this knowledge, to gain greater knowledge and to ensure it becomes more accurate over time. And that takes me back to verse 15, when it says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth." Am I living my life in a way that aligns itself correctly with Scripture? How do we know to handle the word of truth rightly? By studying it. I don't know where you are in life, but I do know this. Life will hit hard, and it hits us all. The word of God speaks to us in those situations. It informs who God is, even in those dark times, in those times of joy. Are we handling the truth of the Word of God rightly? What many people fail to understand is that the issue is not whether we have theology, but whether the theology that we have is factual or false. We all have thoughts about the existence, the character, and the actions of God. We all have thoughts about humanity, about our place and our purpose in this world, and about our relationship to God and with God. We all act on the basis of our thoughts, on our convictions. We are theologians. You are a theologian. The only question is, are you a good one or a poor one? And this points me directly back to my initial thought and question. When my life is over, how will I be remembered? There is no service member that signs up and says, "I'm signing up for Memorial Day." Right? There is no service member that says, "I'm signing up for that holiday." When you sign up, when you raise your right hand, for lack of better terms, and call Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, you are automatically at that point going to that end point of saying, when I'm no longer here, what will my life have meant? What will my life have pointed to? We don't have the benefit of just living life and going, "Woohoo! Happy, happy, joy, joy." No. Yes, we have those times in life, absolutely. And we praise God for them. But as a Christian, as somebody who calls Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, we go to that end point happily, because I'm going to be in heaven, first off. But second of all, my life here on this earth, have I pointed others to Christ? Have I faithfully and rightly lived out the gospel in my own life so that when others look at me, when others talk about me, they will say, there's a godly man. What about in your life? How will theology dictate your life? I know if I'm looking in the mirror, I know I have a lot of work to do. Especially in the words of Paul as he says, to do my best to present myself to God as one approved. But I will do my best to study his word. To allow it to effect change in my life so that when my time on earth here is done, people will say he was a godly man. So the question for you is this. How will you be remembered? And what are you doing to make that happen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to get together and gather and praise and worship you. It is because of the sacrifice of so many people that we have that ability in this country to worship and praise you. And Lord, as we take a look at our own lives, help us to live a life that is representative of you, that this world so desperately needs to see a light of who you are. Help us, Lord, to live a life that points others to you. Put people into our lives, bring situations into our lives that challenge the way that we think and force us to go back to your word so that we live rightly according to your word. Lord, we pray these things in your most holy names, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The way I like to end my service is when I am speaking at wherever I'm at, I like to end it like this. My hope and my prayer is that things that we have talked about in here change who we are so that when we're out there, people see something different. And when they see you and they know that something is different, and when they come and ask you why, at that point in time, we get to point them to Jesus and tell them what he has done in our lives, and in that way, we are his witnesses in this world. So, I hope you guys have that opportunity this week to be his witnesses in this world. Be blessed, have an awesome week, and enjoy the weekend. Be blessed.